Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a bonus story for you. WTSP.com did a story on a little 10-year-old girl having seizures and how medical marijuana would help her and has helped her. As a last resort, her family tried a non-euphoric strain of medical marijuana for their 10-year-old daughter's relentless seizures.
Is that the Charlotte's Web stuff?
That is the Charlotte Web stuff. A video of Charlotte Feige that shows her during a seizure is credited for revolutionizing the way the world views the cannabis plant. Her seizures were instantly abated because of medical marijuana. So her 300 weekly seizures are down to zero her first week after that first dose.
I sent you some audio today. It's similar to the audio you played last week. I guess in Massachusetts they're voting on, I think, medicinal marijuana. I don't know if it's full-on legal or medicinal.
Right.
And so they're running a commercial that tells you why you shouldn't vote for it. So think of the girl that uses it for her seizures and her epilepsy when you're hearing these commercials.
We have reached out to John Morgan to try to get him on the show.
We have.
Because he's back on the bone, and we're Yes on Two all the way, and he's a spokesperson for Yes on Two. We could not support Yes on Two any more than we already do, and I'd love to have him speak about it. But yes, I have the audio right here of this new anti-marijuana dispensary commercial for the state of Massachusetts.
Question 4 would allow thousands of pot shops and marijuana operators throughout Massachusetts, in neighborhoods like yours. Shops that sell pot edibles that look like candy and high-potency marijuana. In pro-pot states, incidents of drugged driving and fatal car accidents are up. More pot shops than McDonald's and Starbucks combined. Higher potency, dangerous drivers. It's the reason health professionals are urging you to vote no on 4.
So what happens is they show a mother that's pulling up to a plaza and getting out of the car with her daughter, and then they show her son coming out of the pot shop.
Give me a break. Why don't they show a 10-year-old girl having seizures 300 times a week? And then getting medical marijuana and not having seizures anymore.
They're showing in this commercial a kid who clearly isn't even old enough to go into one of those places.
Right.
Walking out with a whole bag full of stuff.
And guess what? If your 14, 15-year-old kid wants to get weed right now, he can find weed right now.
It's been around since the beginning of time.
That's right. And if you legalize it, there will be even more restrictions and there will be severe penalties for those dispensaries that would sell to kids who are underage.
Man, it works wonders for seizures.
I don't understand how anyone can be opposed to Amendment 2 in the state of Florida.
It's going
to
happen this time. Don't worry about it. I mean, we're going to keep pushing it, but it'll happen. And finally, these parents will be able to get some relief for their children.
My fear is that people will be so turned off by the presidential candidates that they will forget that your vote can seriously impact Amendment 2 in Florida.
I think Amendment 2 is a big reason why a lot of people are going to vote this year.
I know it's the only thing getting me out to the poll.
That's the headliner.
I still don't know who I'm going to cast my vote for president. I'll probably write in someone, but I know that I'm voting yes on 2, and I can't for the life of me understand how anyone would want to embrace anything other than the compassionate choice, which is yes on 2.
Yeah, Florida's been behind the times for a while now, so let's just put a stop to that.
727-579-1025. If you disagree, I'd like to know why. I really would. Because look at pain pills. Look what they do to you. There's this dude in the Bone chat room. He goes by, he used to be Knock. I forget what he is now. He calls himself the mayor.
You're in the chat room? I thought you were done with that.
No, I've helped turn the tide from the inside.
Oh, okay.
I've helped scare a few trolls away. So this dude who's in there now, he was on pain pills for years, and they made him basically an addict. I don't want to speak for him, but these pain pills did nothing good for him. So he switched to weed. And guess what? He's able to function again. It's a plant. It's not an opiate. It's not something that's going to get you hooked and kill you. It is a freaking plant.
I think a lot of the problem is that we're always comparing it to pills and we're comparing it to alcohol. It needs to stand on its own as a medicine that can help sick people. And that's it. We don't need to compare it to alcohol or pills or anything else any longer.
Right.
But just look at it as a medicine that can help people.
And that's exactly what it is. It is a medicine that can help people. 727-579-1025 and 800-771-1025. Here come the no on two people.
It's just,
I got to hear this. I got to hear
there's
this.
There's no on two people.
Right.
They're not listening.
Nikki, what are they saying? Are you no on two? Oh, hold on a second. Hello there. Are you no on two?
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
It's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. Drew.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
I didn't know you were answering your own calls.
Sometimes I do.
Okay, I am very divided on Amendment 2.
Let's talk about this.
Okay.
You talk first.
Okay. The reason that I'm very divided about Amendment 2 is that if it were for medical purposes, for people that actually really need it, I would have no problem voting yes. But I don't believe you're going to be able to keep it out of the hands of people that are just getting fake, you know, medical diagnoses and going in just to get the pot.
Can I ask you why you care about that?
Well, I mean, I smoked pot when I was, you know, 17, 18, 16, you know.
Okay.
I don't now, but, you know, I have a sister that does, and she's, you know, in her 50s.
Then why do you care? Then why would you care if someone... Okay, look at it this way.
And then here's the thing. Those people that would walk into that shop and buy it, they're already getting it right now. They're already getting high.
And they're breaking the law to do so. They're risking losing their kids, losing their house, losing their car to get their weed. So you would, if you voted no on two and Amendment 2 fails... You would take compassionate care away from a 10-year-old girl simply to
That's
punish those
I'm
people.
With. Well, That's
you should struggle with that because it's wrong.
It's nothing to even struggle with.
Right. Like, why do you care if someone smokes weed if they don't, quote unquote, need weed? Your sister smokes weed. Is she a bad person?
No, but I don't agree with her.
But why not? What do you care about what she does as long as she's not driving or hurting anybody else?
You know, Drew, the problem is that it's going to be crazy. People are going to be all over smoking pot.
No, they're not.
Look, you don't smoke pot now, right?
No.
Would you smoke it if they legalize it?
I don't think so.
Well, there you go. And even if you did, so what? It's a plant. You realize that alcohol is perfectly legal, right? And that you could right now go buy a bottle of something in a store that you could drink the whole thing and it could kill you. But you don't do that because you don't want to die, right?
Absolutely. I enjoy a drink every now and then.
Who doesn't?
But I don't drink to excess and get behind the wheel of my car.
And you know what? No. And there's no DUIs. I don't see any stories about DUIs out there. So everybody handles alcohol the right way.
The point is, let people.
I think there's a lot of people like me, Drew. I think there's a lot
unfortunately
of voters right now that are struggling
right
with what to do.
Right, and I understand that, and all I can do is try to persuade you to make the compassionate choice, which is understand that people are going to get their hands on it regardless. At least in a dispensary, they have regulations in place that prevent it from selling to kids and everyone who wants to get it. Even if I were to go to the doctor and go, you know, doctor, I've got crippling social anxiety. I just can't be around a group of people unless I'm high. So he writes me a prescription and I'm able to smoke weed and get high. How does that affect your life? And how does that affect anyone's life who isn't involved with me? It doesn't, right?
Well, I voted no the last time when this was up. And, of course, it didn't pass. But I have talked to parents of kids with seizures, and it breaks my heart that this could help them, and it's not available to them.
Well, then you know the right choice to make, my dear.
It's just painful.
You're leaning towards actually punishing people than helping people. So you're more of a negative thinker than a positive thinker.
Oh, Seth, shut up.
He's right.
I'm not a negative thinker. I'm not a proponent of just every Tom, Dick, and Harry being able to walk around smoking pot.
But why not? Okay, let's look at even recreational weed. Suppose above the board, anybody without a medical condition could just go into a place and buy weed. Why shouldn't they be able to buy weed? They can buy booze. They can buy cigarettes that have no medical benefit whatsoever but give you lung cancer. So why shouldn't they be able to buy something that puts them at ease, calms them down, helps them overcome anxiety, etc.? Why shouldn't they?
Because people say studies have shown that it's a drug that will lead to other drugs.
No, no, they don't at all.
How old are you?
Oh, don't even go there.
He's just asking a question.
I'd like to know how old you are.
I'm in my 40s.
Okay, so you've been brainwashed by the anti-marijuana contingent since you were 5 years old. Dare, say no to drugs, just say no, etc. It's a plant, sweetheart. You put a seed in the ground, you grow it, it comes from the earth, and it's a plant. You could legally get prescribed things by doctors right now that kill your brain, that turn you into a zombie.
You see that there will be issues that will come up because people are buying it that shouldn't.
No.
There's any issues.
Anyone who wants to buy it should be able to. They don't ask you when you go to buy weed, are you addicted to this? Are you an alcoholic? You have the freedom.
Well, I have a bad knee, and I need a knee replacement. Does that mean that I can go in and say, hey, I really need some relief from this knee pain?
Yes.
Let me buy some pot.
Yes, absolutely. You should be able to. And if it helps you overcome the pain, it absolutely should.
Well, I truly feel like my husband and I, we had this big discussion last night, and we both were like, I said, how are you feeling? He's 10 years older than I am, and he's like, I don't know, I'm struggling with it. And we both are. So, tell me what to do.
I have told you what to do. Be compassionate and accept the fact that adults are going to do what they're going to do. People are going to smoke weed, and there's nothing you can do about it. If you legalize it, then at least they are regulated, and you don't have to meet up with some dealer in the parking lot of the West Shore Mall putting your freedom at risk. Let people smoke weed because it has nothing to do with your life. You go to most people who don't smoke weed already, and you go, would you smoke it if it was legal? And then they go, well, no. So then legalize it, and the people who are going to smoke are going to smoke, and the people who aren't. Just because it's legal doesn't mean you have to do it.
Well, no, I'm not going to do it. So, all right.
Thank God. Vote yes.
All right.
God.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it, and I've enjoyed this open and honest discourse.
I haven't.
And I hope that you will vote yes on too. Thank you.
Seth, I love you.
You told me to shut up 4 times. Get out of here.
Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate
Bye.
It.
Bye.
In the studio with us right now, Stevie Y himself, Steve Eiserman, to promote the 2012 Tampa Bay Heart Walk.
See, you are nervous.
I am indeed. I didn't think I would be, but we pretty much got the Michael Jordan of hockey in here with us.
Is it okay if we call you Stevie Y?
Yeah, I'm in management now, so I prefer Steve, but we can do Steve.
Yeah, it's Drew. Geez, good job.
Just like old times.
Now, Steve's here to promote the 2012 Tampa Bay Heart Walk. It's going to be tomorrow at Raymond James Stadium. You can still sign up, tampabayheartwalk.org. Activities begin at 8. Walk begins at 9. Danielle will have breakfast cooked for everyone at 7:30, so make sure you show up early for that. Danielle is going to do the Heart Walk, and man, thank you so much for being here, Steve. No, we appreciate it.
My pleasure. Enjoy it.
No problem.
Mr. Eiserman, if the season was happening right now, would you still be doing all this promotion for the Heart Walk, or do you have some free time on your hands?
Have more time than normal, obviously, but depending on the schedule, we'd probably, whether it was today or another day, make arrangements to get out and promote the Heart Walk. When the Lightning got involved, we set a goal to have the biggest Heart Walk ever, the most walkers, raise the most money, and we're on target to do that. So you guys having us here on air, helping to promote it, trying to encourage anybody last minute if they want to come out tomorrow, there's more than enough room to accommodate you.
Awesome. Get out there as the activities begin at 8. And if you raise a minimum of $100, you get a Heart Walk t-shirt. You can participate by joining or starting a company team or by collecting donations as an individual or a family. It's a great cause, and we want everybody to show up. Now, I was doing my research on you, Steve, and I'll be honest with you. I am not much of a hockey guy. I know I have my Bolts t-shirt on, but I'm a basketball guy first and foremost. But you are a legend. And in reading about you, I saw that your first year when you were drafted, you went to a minor league hockey franchise. Is that correct?
When I was drafted, actually, by the Detroit Red Wings. Yeah, no, as an 18-year-old, I was playing in Ontario in Canada, and was able to, surprisingly to myself, made the team in Detroit. They were a rebuilding team. They had a lot of jobs open, and I was able to stick with the team as an 18-year-old and stayed with them throughout my career.
What was attractive about Tampa Bay when you decided to come here?
Stamkos, St. Louis, Le Cavalier, you know, they had a good nucleus of players. Jeff Vinnick, an outstanding, a new owner to the league. My meetings with him were, I came away really impressed, and I thought, hey, this is a good opportunity. I really wanted to be a general manager in this league, run an organization. I thought there was a lot of things in place that made it very attractive here.
Were you surprised by the amount of passion and knowledge that the Tampa Bay hockey fans seem to have for the Lightning? I mean, we are in Florida after all.
Yeah, I played in Tampa as a player coming in with the Red Wings, And the building was always, you know, I played in all three different buildings that the Lightning played in, at the Fairgrounds, at the Trop, and then, once or twice at the Forum. The building was always full, so, you know, it kind of has a nice following. What I've really appreciated in the two seasons that I've been here is the passion that our fans, we have a good core and good nucleus of season ticket holders, people who follow the team. And, you know, you go to a game, people know what they're watching. They know what they want. They know when a game is played well, when a team is playing poorly. So, you know, it's a good community. You got, I believe the game is, you know, it attracts fans. If people come out and see it and watch, it's an entertaining product. People will like the game. Even, you know, people from Florida who didn't grow up around the game will be drawn to it because it is an exciting thing to watch.
What about the people that just want to see the fights? Are you okay with them? You know, you get them out there, then they actually turn into hockey fans?
Yeah, unfortunately our sport, you know, has, you know, they allow fighting in the game, and you do see it, and it's promoted, and it does bring people out of their seats. It's being phased out, really. Just evolution of the sport is changing. There isn't as much. We as an organization, the way we're built, or the way I'm building a team, the teams that I played on didn't have, you know, it wasn't built around intimidation or for. I'm looking for more skill, speed, intelligence, and competitiveness. But it happens, and it happens in the other sports occasionally. Even
sure.
they don't allow fighting, but you know, sports and competition brings out every now and then a guy loses it for whatever reason, and that happens in all sports. But I think it's a misconception that it's a big part of the game. It's a very small part of it.
We've got Steve Yzerman in the studio with us promoting the 2012 Tampa Bay Heart Walk.
Steve, what do you think about Tampa Bay as a sports town overall? A lot of people like to knock the Buccaneers because they don't sell out all their games, and they like to knock the Rays because they're not selling out every single night. You've been in Detroit, you've been in major sports towns. What do you think about Tampa Bay overall as a sports city?
Well, all the sports here, plus college sports.
Yeah.
And great weather that people are very active. Like it's one thing that I notice is how active, whether people are out biking, running, or out on the water, paddling, whatnot. People are always doing something. So whether they're watching or doing their own thing, you got a lot of competition. So
right.
It's difficult for people. And really, you mentioned teams not selling out. Well, economy has a lot to do with that. In Florida, you know, I played in Detroit, and at the end of my career was in the economy hit Michigan hard as well. You know, the downturn in the economy, that has an effect. This is a great sports area, Florida in general. I mean, you know, and it's not just football and baseball, but all sports, they follow it. So this is a good community, but we have a lot of competition. All the teams have competition. We have to have a good product, and we have to run a good business.
Yeah, and it's not like they're just competing with each other. They're competing with the great weather outside, with the amount of entertainment there is, with Busch Gardens up the road. You got so many options that it's not just hockey versus baseball versus football. It's hockey versus everything else in the world.
Exactly.
We've got Steve Yzerman promoting the 2012 Tampa Bay Heart Walk.
All right, here's a question I thought of last night. Steve, who doesn't like Steve Yzerman? Canada loves Steve Yzerman. Detroit Red Wings fans love Steve Yzerman. Tampa Bay fans love Steve Yzerman. Who does not like Steve Yzerman?
That's a good question.
Well, there's days my wife's not a real fan of me. I think you'd find a few people in Colorado that aren't big fans of anybody associated with the Red Wings. But,
okay.
You know, I'm my goal is 5 years from now, 10 years from now, the people in Tampa Bay still like Steve Yzerman. I've got a job to do and certain goals that I want to accomplish here, and I'm hoping we can do that. And I believe with the people that I have around me and the organization that we'll be able to accomplish those goals.
Now, as a player, Steve, I'm sure you would, before a game and during a game, you get that adrenaline that you're out on the ice, you know, you're in it. Do you still get anything even close to that? Like when you sign somebody or when something really cool happens at work, is it at all similar, the endorphins running through your body, or is it just a completely separate thing?
No, it's very similar. Like, again, I enjoy being staying in the game because the wins and losses matter. Now, you know, as a manager, you know, obviously you're not out on the ice experiencing the same thing as a player, but wins and losses really matter. You do get competitive, even whether it's making a trade or signing a contract. That's the one part. Yeah, you don't necessarily try to win in that, you know, you try to make a deal. That's one thing that's a change. And we do get competitive, and you know, you're like just negotiating a contract, for example, thinking you're trying to win everything, thinking you're trying to win every trade. You never end up getting deals done. You have to be fair, and ideally everybody wins, and that's how I think you become successful as a manager. But sitting there watching your team play wins and losses, absolutely, it's the same. You have that same feeling as a player.
Are you on edge the whole time you're watching the Lightning play? Can you sit down and enjoy them, or is it tough for you to do that?
It depends on the situation, you know, the importance of the game. Well, you know, obviously a game in the preseason you're watching differently than a game in the regular season, and game 7 of the conference finals is even different. But what I try to do, I try to watch them objectively as the manager of the team. You know, the players are out there making the biggest difference. The coach is behind the bench doing his thing, making his line changes, adjustments during the game. As a manager, I try to watch. I'm watching our players, assessing our players, trying to figure out, you know, what do we need to do to be better as an organization. We're trying to watch the other team. What players do you like from them? Because it's really important to know players around the league. So you got a lot going on, but I try to look at it at the bigger picture more so than what's necessarily happening in the game.
We've got Steve Yzerman in the studio from the Tampa Bay Lightning promoting the 2012 Tampa Bay Heart Walk. It is tomorrow at Raymond James Stadium. Get signed up at tampabayheartwalk.org.
If you ever have insight for a player, do you go directly to that player, or do you let the coaching staff handle all of that?
For the most part, I leave it to the coaches. You know, they're the direct link to the players. On occasion, just because I did play for a long time, I may once in a while pop in and see a player more, not so much on maybe things the team are doing, but maybe an individual skill or a thing that I see a player that maybe I've got something that I can offer to him that may help. But generally, everything really works through the coach. You know, I talk directly to him. I stay out of the locker room. It's between, you know, the coaches and the players. That's their domain. I go down to the coaches' offices down there, but again, I'll try and help the players out occasionally on something, on a little skill, but I leave it really to the coaching staff.
Not a Mark Cuban kind of guy where you feel like you need to have your hands on every little decision that they make.
Yeah, try not to be. You know, it's hard. You get passionate about it, and you love your team and your players, and you want to be involved. But my management style is, you know, hire the best people and let them do their thing, give them what they need to be successful, and try and stay out of their way.
We were just talking to Steve Yzerman about you two, and you got to meet Bono when you were up in Detroit.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, a good friend of mine, his son's friend, father was the head of his security team or something, and we were able to, before the show, get a chance to spend a couple minutes with him and talk to him, ask him a few questions, and
man,
get some pictures. Yeah, very exciting.
And you said you hung out in a bar one time with Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam?
I did, yeah. Actually, it was in Vancouver. Eddie Vedder was friends with Chris Chelios, a teammate of mine in Detroit, and he came up to spend some time with Chris, so we got a chance just to sit with him in a hotel lounge, and he and his wife and talk, you know, just sit and talk. He was very, very down to earth. And,
wow.
It was a great evening for us.
And I bet he tells people that he got to meet Steve Yzerman too.
I don't think so.
We've got Steve Yzerman from the Lightning in with us. The 2012 Tampa Bay Heart Walk is tomorrow at Raymond James Stadium. You can still sign up, tampabayheartwalk.org. Show up at 8. The walk begins at 9. No fee to walk, but raise some money. And if you raise $100, you're eligible for a Heart Walk t-shirt. You want to take some phone calls from our wonderful listener, Seth?
All right, let's take a chance.
877-327-9797. Hey, Jason, what's happening? Welcome to The Morning X, featuring our special guest, Steve Yzerman.
How are you guys doing today?
What up, Jay?
Hey, question for Steve. What was the hardest decision that you ever had to make in your professional career having to do with your personal life? Did you have to say no to something and say yes to your professional career? And do you ever think back on it and wonder how your life would be different today?
Yeah, well, really, the biggest change for me was leaving the Red Wings to come to Tampa Bay. That was the toughest decision I had to make. I've been in Detroit since the age of 18, and been in the organization a long time. My kids were born in Detroit, so it was a major career move for me, and a decision I spent a lot of time thinking about. But I look back, and I've really enjoyed the change. I enjoy the challenge. I like being here in Florida. And it's, you know, another step in another phase of my life, which I've really enjoyed, and I'm glad I've made the decision.
Good question, Jason. Thank you, man.
Hey, not funny, guys. Have a great day.
You do the very same
thing.
Your
callers are deep.
Not usually. You bring the best in them.
I thought they were going to ask me what my favorite song was.
It'll happen. Trust me. They'll ask about their underpants probably, too.
What is it, by the way? What's your favorite song?
What is your favorite song, Steve? Just so we know. Those are the questions.
Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah. Michael, what's up, man? Welcome to the Morning X with Steve Yzerman.
Hey, thank you. Good morning, guys.
What's up, Michael?
Steve, I grew up a huge Blackhawks fan, so I was never able to really watch you, but always respected you as a leader. With that, you were probably the youngest captain in NHL history at 19. What was the biggest responsibility you had with that? And how did you kind of bring in the veterans to want to, you know, listen to what you had to say over what they wanted to do?
You know, we had a great group of veterans when I was named captain. Actually, I think I was 21 when I was named the captain in Detroit. But really, I just deferred to the older guys. They controlled the atmosphere in the locker room, kind of the attitude of the team. For me, I really kept my mouth shut. I went out and I tried to work hard and practice and lead by example, so to speak. But anytime there was an issue or whatnot, again, it was the veteran players that I really deferred to. You know, here I am, 21. We had guys anywhere from the age of 19 to 40 on that team, and I'm not in a position as a 21-year-old, even though I'm the captain, to really be dictating to the veteran guys that are fathers of children and families and have been in the league a lot longer than me. So fortunately, they were good guys, and, you know, they respected the fact that I was a captain, but they dictated the attitude and led our team.
Great question, man. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
That was good. I'm impressed with our listeners.
Where are all these intelligent listeners every other day of the week?
Nowhere.
Are they hiding out? Did they somehow find out on a message board that Steve was going to be here? 877-327-9797. What's up, Hunter? Well, yes, Seth, go ahead.
Danielle was saying going to line five.
Is a good one.
Oh, Hunter?
Hang on, Hunter. That's not you. Hold on one second. We got Richard. Richard, what's up? Welcome to the Morning X with Steve Eiserman.
Hey, good morning, guys. Steve Eiserman. Quick question. How do you feel about players playing over in Europe during a lockout? Are you really concerned about them risking a very vital injury?
I certainly hope that that doesn't happen. I guess, you know, I have mixed emotions about it or mixed feelings about it. One, you know, I'm hopeful that this lockout ends and ends sooner than later and we get our players back. I want them to be in the best shape they possibly can be. I think there's pros and cons to them playing over in Europe. Injury is a concern, but I always, and my approach even when I played was, you know, I'm going to kind of try and do the things that I want to do regardless of whether it's on the ice or off the ice. I want to enjoy my life, and I'm not worried about getting hurt doing it. So, you know, we got guys here in Tampa that are skating out in Brandon. I know Marty and Vinny and some of the guys that have chosen not to go to Europe to play. They're out there skating and practicing. The guys in Europe, I think we have four of them there right now. I hold my breath, but I can't worry about it. You know, I really have no control over the situation. So I hope they stay healthy. The positive is they're playing hockey. They're in good shape, and we'll get them back. But we are seeing players every day. I'm hearing another report of a player who's coming back with some sort of injury or not. So.
Gotcha, man. Great. Appreciate the call, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess he wasn't happy with the answer.
I guess he was. I don't know what he was looking for there.
I really answered it.
Man, well, we really appreciate you being here, Steve. Again, everybody show up for the Heart Walk tomorrow. TampaBayHeartWalk.org. It is tomorrow. The activities begin at 8. The walk starts at 9. I know, Danielle, you're going to be out there.
I am. And it's my first one. I'm very excited.
Did you raise $100 so you can get a t-shirt?
I don't know. I'm going to put it back up on our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TheMorningX.
I'm going to donate $47 to your cause, Danielle.
Look at Steve Eiserman and tell him, because then I know for sure you'll do it.
Steve, I'm gonna give her the $47 right after the show. How about 50? I'll give you 50.
Okay, good. All I knew it would raise it by $3.
I will match that $50, and you have $100 right now.
And I'm going to have a t-shirt! Thank you.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.